Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And we are getting close to the end of our week, praying through the Psalms, just like we've been doing this summer, and going through Philippians chapter 3, just a chunk of it. We've gotten through about 4 or 5 verses, and this is a hard hitter. It's a hard hitter because, one, it's a hard word to swallow, because what we've been hearing from Paul is he's saying, look, nothing else is worthy. Nothing else is worth it. And actually, I've lost everything. And in that place of losing everything, I found that the only thing that satisfies is Jesus Christ. And that's why it's hard, because it's like, we don't want to give up everything. And we're like, Jesus, you can't possibly be asking me to give up everything. But friends, Jesus wants to satisfy you. I was thinking about this as we were wrapping up our last show. You know, I was thinking about my younger self. And if I were to say to my younger self, like, you can actually be this satisfied in the Lord without getting everything you want, without getting everything you think you might need, you can actually become this satisfied. When I was following the Lord in my early 20s, I never would have believed that I could be so satisfied in God. And that doesn't mean that I'm perfect. Of course, I'm so sinful. I'm not perfect. But the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has done a work in me that as I've come each year of my life to know God more and more, there's other things that used to satisfy me that I just like don't have a taste for anymore. Or I realize how empty those things were, how that was like a fake satisfaction. I was literally just talking with a friend yesterday as we were working out together, and we were just talking about like TV shows, like how even I used to like just love like getting into TV shows, and I would watch like a couple episodes at a time, and I'd be like, this is such a good way to unwind. And how I found myself, and she was saying the same thing of like, there's so like, one, I just have a higher sensitivity, but also like, now when I do it, I don't feel like that same like satisfaction. And yes, that was an empty satisfaction, but I felt like filled, and how like the Lord is actually giving me a distaste for that. And you might be listening to this and being like, oh my gosh, you're being so dramatic. Like it's a TV show, like come on. But to actually like ask the Lord, being like, Lord, give me a distaste of things that are not of you. Give me a distaste for things that are not of you. Because I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to be satisfied in you. And we're just saying like, yeah, like shows that I used to watch or things that I used to like, it's like those things aren't necessarily sinful. Like they weren't bad, but just like the Lord, as I taste him, it's like when you have like a really good steak and then you eat like a really bad cut of meat, or you eat like junk food, or if you're like, you're eating healthy and you go back for eating junk food, you're like, I can't believe like I used to like this, you know, like I can't believe I used to eat this and feel totally fine because I'm 100% not satisfied. I'm 100% not satisfied by this thing that used to satisfy me. And so, friends, I know this is a little bit of a tangent in this intro, but I want to invite you to pray that today and pray it tomorrow. Say, Lord, actually begin to make me dissatisfied with the things that used to satisfy me so I can only become satisfied in you. Amen. Let's read a little bit. I'm just going to read a little bit of Psalm 73. And then we're going to get into our passage for the day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like, always free of care, and they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. I'm going to stop there and just pray really quick. Thank you, Lord, for this time of reading your word. We just ask that you would be with us, Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to quickly say a word about this psalm, because it's like we're reading these ones about like exalting the Lord, all of this stuff. And then we're reading this psalm and it's like my feet almost slipped, and I'm actually jealous of the people who are wicked and carry violence around their necks. And you're like, what is going on here? And I think there's something actually in here that relates to that surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Because I think there's sometimes when we're walking with the Lord for a while, there can be a temptation to look at people in the world and be like, the people that don't know Christ, like they're successful. They seem happy. They're amassing wealth. And I'm over here and I'm suffering. And it can sometimes, we can give into the lie from the enemy that it's not worth it, that it's actually better. And we can be more happy and we can have more worldly success and all this stuff to be jealous and envious of the wicked. And this is what David's saying here. He's saying, I was envious of the wicked. And I was kind of like saying to God, like, why am I even keeping my heart pure? Like, what is even the point? Because I'm not getting what I want. And this is where it comes to what we've been talking about, friends, is we have to keep our focus on what we want is Christ. So whether we have everything or we have nothing, if we have him, we have everything. And when we lose track of this, this is when we begin to look at the wicked. We begin to look at the world and we say, hey, fame and money and power begins to now have a hold on me. And it seems like people are so happy. It seems like people who are out here not doing God's will are being successful, and I'm not really successful. And this is where we have to stay close to the Lord and do not allow that temptation to say no. The thing that matters is Christ. The thing that matters is loving him, and he will give me everything I want and everything I need. Amen? Amen. So let's get back to Philippians chapter 3, because this goes so well with what we're saying. Yesterday, we talked about being found in Christ, being found in him, the righteousness of God clothing us, changing us from the inside out, and us being incorporated into the body of Christ and his righteousness belonging to us. So I want to read again 3, starting in verse 8. It says, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. This last sentence is what I want to focus on in the next 5 minutes that we have together here until we're together again tomorrow. These things that Paul's saying, this, friends, is the heart of discipleship. I don't want to break these down one by one. Paul's saying, this is what I want, one, that I may know him. Again, he's saying that I may know him first and foremost, not know about him, that intimacy, that knowing as a spouse is knowing. Paul's saying, again, deep in my heart, the cry of my heart is I want to know him. I want to know him. And friends, the more that I walk with Jesus and the more I see him, I want to know him. I want to see him face to face. I want to lock eyes with him. I want to gaze upon his beauty. I want to know him and I want to be known by him. And I want that for my family, my friends, my nieces and nephews. Everybody that I meet, I want that. I want to know him. I want to know him. That's first what Paul's saying. And I pray for that grace right now of the Holy Spirit, that you would be given a desire to know him. 2, the power of his resurrection. So Paul's saying, I want to know him and I want to know the power of his resurrection. And this is what we see over and over and over again. After the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, the key parts of the preaching of the word of God, the preaching of the apostles, is not like, hey, come follow Jesus, you'll have a better life. Hey, come and participate in this great organization that we have. We have great activities. We have great snacks. We have great food. Come, let us make your life better. It's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the core message. If Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, we are foolish. We are to be pitied. This is the core. Jesus has come and he's defeated death. And so Paul's saying, this is what I want. I want to know him and I want to live in the power of the resurrection from the dead. Without the power of the resurrection from the dead, we are walking in a dead, pointless religion. We are doing a self project, an ego project. This is something that the Holy Spirit wants to do in the life of Catholics, is infuse your life. You've been baptized with him and been raised with him, and he wants to infuse your life with a lived experience of the resurrection from the dead. And Paul's saying, this is what this is all about, knowing him and the power of his resurrection. He said, I'm setting my mind on this. This is my entire life. This is my entire ministry, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. His resurrection is central. And this is where it gets even more challenging. That I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. This is discipleship. This is what you can desire and what you can expect. And this is why so many people are thrown off the path, because we expect an easy life. Paul's saying, this is the expectation that we should have. We come to know Christ. We live in the power of the resurrection. And then we share in his sufferings, and we are made like him in his death. First, sharing in his sufferings. What are his sufferings? He's beaten, mocked, scorned, rejected, left alone, left for dead, killed. People talking about him, murmuring about him, the people that loved him except for two people abandoned him in his time of most need. He's beaten almost to the point of death. He has a crown of thorns put upon him. He's emaciated. But even more than that, the spiritual suffering, the spiritual loneliness, he takes on the weight of our sin. He experiences despair, the loneliness of what he had to carry. And Paul's saying, this is what I want. I want to share in the sufferings of Christ. I want to share in the sufferings of Christ. That the only way to really know him is if I share in his sufferings. The only way to access the power of the resurrection, if I can share in his sufferings. And so those are his sufferings, and then becoming like him in his death. Jesus says, how do you become like me? You follow me wherever I go. And where do I go? I'm going to the cross. Friends, the only way to become like him is to die. We talked about this before. Take up your cross and follow him. He's saying, come with me to Calvary. And Paul is saying, this is what I want. This is what I want. I want to know him. I want to live in the power of his resurrection. I want to share in his sufferings. I want to become like him in his death, that if possible, I can rise from the dead myself. This is a microcosm of discipleship. He's saying, this is what you should desire, and this is what you should expect. This is a hard prayer to pray. And I'm praying. I was in the chapel. I was like, Lord, begging, make this the center of my life. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to live in the power of your resurrection. I want to share in your sufferings. And I want to become like you in your death. Why? So that I can be raised to new life. Because Christ has defeated death definitively. He has defeated and conquered death, the final enemy. And he's saying, if you follow me, if you share in my sufferings, if you become like me in my death, you will obtain resurrection from the dead. This is amazing news. So pray this today, friends, and ask for the grace to live it out. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.